I believe in a God, even though I can't see him, even when he is silent, I know he is there. I know if I wait on the Lord and will listen in a still small voice, he speaks to me here. I believe sun, even when I can't see it, is there when the clouds keep it hidden from view. I know it will shine once again in its splendor when the clouds break away and let it shine through. I believe in a God and I know that I shall see him someday.
When once that is the word of God, we can clearly see a pattern taking place. When the children of God would live for God, there would be good in the land. But when they turned away from God and worshipped idols, you can clearly see that all of a sudden destruction and disaster would strike on every hand. And when we look at the world situation today, we can clearly see this is what's happening. There is destruction. There are disasters everywhere. We can see the lawlessness all over America, and a lot of it is instigated by government people, by those who are in charge. This is exactly what happened in the Old Testament. We read of wicked kings that would incense violence. The Bible teaches us that Manasseh was so horrible, and he was a king, that the streets were flowing with blood. He sacrificed his own children to the devil. Yes, the Lord rebuked him, and he came to his senses and repented. But the Bible teaches us that God could not forgive Israel because of the sins of Manasseh. When we study what happened in the days of the flood, the Bible teaches us that men's hearts were continuously filled with evil. Their imagination was evil. When we study what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, we can clearly see that those people were out to steal, kill, and to destroy, and to cause a lot of destruction. Yes, God brings judgment. When people start rejecting God, when people turn away from him and turn to idols, And it doesn't take long after that when anarchy starts to happen all over the countries. You see that clearly when you study the Word of God. When a bad king was in charge in Israel, you can see the mighty hand of God moving to bring people back to where righteousness would again prevail. But when you see a good king operating in Israel, you notice that hardly anything happened. There was no violence. There was no anarchy. There was just calm and people were prospering. And I want to bring our attention to what's happening in North America. Over the last 100 years, or let's say 75 years, people have been straying away from God. Evolution has come to be the accepted way of how things came into being. Many, many people do not believe that God created the heavens and the earth. So we see people turning to idols. They're listening to doctrines of devils. So all of a sudden we see the lawlessness. Yes, it took a little time, but now lawlessness is breaking out everywhere. Good is called evil and evil is called good. By studying the Word of God, we know for a fact there's two things that can happen. Either the judgment of God will come, which happened in the Old Testament at Sodom and Gomorrah. It happened in the days of Noah when the flood came. Or God will send somebody to turn these things around. That's what he usually does. He has a man that will stand up for righteousness, and nothing anybody can do will stop him. So he either does that or brings judgment. And I firmly believe God is going to turn this evil around. For we are heading for an incredible harvest, an end time harvest, where the Bible teaches us the Lord will do a short work on this earth. So as we watch these things progressing here, we can clearly either wait for destruction, or we can wait for things to turn around. I myself have studied the Bible. I see the timelines of God, and I firmly believe that things will turn around. So today I will teach on how God views the child of God and what the child of God needs to do, and also a warning for the wicked. So I'll teach on this today, but before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to what is going on. Lord, you'll give them boldness to stand up for righteousness, to proclaim your glory and your power. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who have turned to you by covenant and by sacrifice. Lord God, you will anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm chapter 50, in verse 1, it tells us this: the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, and he may judge his people. One thing we have to understand: this thing is going to climax one of these days. There, God himself will come to judge the nations. And the people of this earth better understand they did not create themselves. They were created by a creator. And they need to honor this God, because one day there's going to be a reckoning. The way they're thumbing their nose at God today, you can see it in the governments. You can see it in the school systems. You can see it everywhere. People are thumbing their nose at God. One day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the one who's calling the shots behind the scene, Satan himself, will have to bow the knee and call Jesus Lord. This is what's going to happen. This is a friendly warning to the wicked. You will yet be judged, whether you like it or not. You can proclaim there is no God till you're blue in the face. God will not go away. Eternity is here to stay for every man, woman, and child. We're going to live for eternity. The question is, where will we spend our eternity? Will we respect this great God and turn to him for salvation? Or will we thumb our nose at him like so many did in the Old Testament? When you study the Word of God, it calls it in the King James, they put the twig to their noses when it came to God. So we see and understand that we're in the same condition today. But the child of God should rejoice, because people, even though they're bad, once God touches them, many of them see the light and turn to the light. In Psalms chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "Gather my saints together unto me that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Those who made a covenant with God by sacrifice, they are going to be gathered unto God. What is the sacrifice that he is talking about? Is it the sacrifice of the human being? No, it is not. It is the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. He sacrificed himself for the sin of the people. He sacrificed himself so that people would be able to enter into the kingdom of God. We ourselves cannot bring sacrifice as far as our salvation is concerned, because all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So it tells us, "Gather my saints together unto me that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." In Psalm chapter 50, in verse 6, it tells us this, "The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." So if there's people out there listening who are nonchalant about God, who believe their God does not exist, it tells us here, God will judge himself. For God is God, and there is no changing of it. So we, the children of God, should keep preaching his principles, his doctrines, and his word. Many pastors of the world, of the church today, are succumbing to the world pressures. They're not upholding the principles and the word of God. They're pussyfooting around the subjects that cause controversy, and they need to stand up or they will be rejected. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 50 in verse 9, "I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. The wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." God is strictly independent of the human race. He doesn't need them. He doesn't need you to bring him anything. Everything belongs to him. The beasts of the fields, the fowl of the air, the cattle, all the world is his and the fullness thereof. So what have you got to offer him? There's only one thing that you can offer him. That's your allegiance to him by accepting his sacrifice for your sin at the cross of Calvary. Jesus, the God of the universe, created a human being so that he could rejoice in him, to have a companion throughout eternity. But the human being has said in his heart, there is no God. They are foolish, the Bible calls it. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And when we look at the world system today, we can clearly see they operate as if there is no judgment coming. But I got news for you. God will yet judge the wicked. In Psalm chapter 50, in verse 14, it tells us, offer unto God thanksgiving, pay thy vows unto the Most High God, and call upon him in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. He says, regardless where you are, when you're down, give thanks to God. Call out to him in the day of trouble. He will yet deliver you. For God is a merciful God. He has a heart that seeks to unite humanity with himself. But humanity is pushing him away. We can clearly see what's going on in front of our eyes. Up till a year and a half ago, we could say, oh, things are going on as usual. Nothing's ever going to change, but now we see different. We see the handwriting on the wall. The Lord is showing us what could happen. This world could be plunged into a one world government system, like the Bible teaches us, will happen in the end. The time is not yet, but God is showing us the things that I'm warning you about, they are real. The one world government system will bring everybody under their heel. And he's giving us a little bit of a taste so that we wake up out of our sleep and turn to this God in seriousness. Because many of God's people are nonchalant. They have connected themselves with the world. Sports is more important than living and working for God. We can see the idol worship all throughout the church. Instead of having prayer meetings, they're watching sports and football games right in church. I'm not against watching football or being into sports, but when you idolize it to the point where you use the house of God for that entertainment, then I know for a fact there is something wrong. We need to get back to a serious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are seeing things happening. And on the next segment of this program, I will explain to you what is happening all around us and how God is going to deal with it. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
God's abiding peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my doubts and fears away, though I cannot tell you how. It is mine, His prize, His treasure, blessed be His name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine. For all eternity. has wrought in me a sweet and perfect rest in my raptured heart. I can feel it now. Each passing moment keeps me saved and blessed, floods with life my heart and brow. It is my
prize forever and ever.
Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine,
his prize is forever and ever.
Blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. He has given me a never failing joy.
On this part of the program, I will teach you by scripture what happens when the people of God intermingle with the world and what will happen to the world system. And the child of God needs to understand God is watching and there are consequences to everything that we do. In Psalm chapter 50 in verse 16, it says, "But unto the wicked God said, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest stick my covenant into thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and cast my words behind thee." So there are many in the world system today who will quote the word of God, but at the same time they live for the devil. You can see it in government officials every now and then. They will quote the word of God, but their actions prove clearly that they hate God. I want to read to you out of Psalm chapter 50 in verse 18. And that's talking to the Christian today, because God wants to warn his people. Do not intermingle with the world system, because when you get into the Old Testament, you can see terrible destruction coming when they intermingle with those who hate God. It tells us, "When thou sawest the thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partakers with the adulterers." We can see that in many cases today. People who call themselves Christians simply consenting with the world system. We can see the laws of God being broken when it comes to homosexuality, when it comes to abortion, when it comes to those things. The church is mute in many cases. Over the last 50 years, since the abortions have been made legal in Canada, I have hardly ever heard a preacher preach against the terrible murder of the innocent. They have stayed quiet because they feel they somehow will lose their government money privileges. This is what I have begun to see amongst the church people of God today. They're afraid they're going to lose their government privileges. But here is what you need to understand. In Psalm chapter 106, God's warning to the Israelites. They were mingled amongst the heathen and learned their works. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. We can see today that even people who call themselves Christian will go and have abortions. We hear of testimonies of these women, and that is because the church is afraid to speak up against the evil that has encroached in on them. I want to explain something that I experienced years ago. I was driving along with a Muslim friend of mine when the Berlin Wall came down. And we were driving along, and it came over the radio that finally the Berlin Wall, the communist wall, came down. And my Muslim friend said to me, "Yes, now we will have peace." And I said, "No, we will not." And he said, "Why do you say that? The wall is coming down. The Russians and the Chinese and the Americans are uniting together in peace." And I told him, "While we are murdering the babies in the womb, we will not have any peace in the land. And history has proven that." And this is what God is warning us. We are sacrificing many, many, many in Canada and the States are sacrificing our children to the devil through abortion. So we need to make sure we understand that, because at the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to want an account. Yes, if you have fallen into that trap and if you have had an abortion, God is merciful and he will forgive you of that sin if you repent. But if you go about in your stiff neck, if you continue thinking that you did the right thing, then the judgment of God will fall upon you. It tells us in Psalm chapter 15, verse 21, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." This is what we can expect to happen, and this is what will happen. Psalm chapter 50 in verse 22 tells us this: "Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." That's not me speaking this. That's the Holy Spirit. If you insist, if the world insists on operating like the way they're operating, God is saying this, consider this: "Lest I tear you in pieces, and there shall be none to deliver." But to the child of God, Psalm chapter 50 in verse 23, he tells us this: "Whoso offereth praise glorifies me, and to him that ordered his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." So let the Lord open your heart to this, for we are in some interesting times, and God is bringing out those who truly love him. I ask you to open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.